Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading 10th Canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 9, Text 20, Mother Yasoda Binds Lord Krishna. Nemam virincho na bhavo, nasir apyanga samsraya, prasadam le bire gopi, Yattat prappa vimukti dat. Na, not, imam, this exalted position, virinchaha, Lord Brahma, na, nor, bhava, Lord Shiva, na, nor, Shrihi, the goddess of fortune. Api, indeed. Anga samsraya, although she is always the better half of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prasadam, mercy. Lebide, obtained. Gopi, Mother Yasoda. Yattat, as that which. Prapa, obtained. Vimukti dat, from Krishna, who gives deliverance from this material world. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yasoda. Purport. This is a comparative study between Mother Yasoda and other devotees of the Lord. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, 5th chapter, text 142, Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arda Sabha Britya. The only Supreme Master is Krishna, and all others are His servants. Krishna has the transcendental quality of britya vasyata, becoming subordinate to his britya, or servant. Now, although everyone is britya, and although Krishna has the quality of becoming subordinate to his britya, the position of Mother Yasoda is the greatest. Lord Brahma is britya, a servant of Krishna, and he is Adi Kavi, the original creator of this universe, Tene Brahma Ridaya Adi Kavaye. Nonetheless, even he could not obtain such mercy as Mother Yasoda. As for Lord Shiva, he is the topmost Vaishnava, Vaishnavam Yata Sambhu. What to speak of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is the Lord's constant companion in service, since she always associates with His body. But even she could not get such mercy. Therefore, Maharaj Parikit was surprised, thinking, what did Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj do in their previous lives by which they got such a great opportunity, the opportunity to be the affectionate father and mother of Krishna. In this verse, there are three negative pronouncements. Na, na, na. When anything is uttered three times, do it, do it, do it, one should understand that this is meant to indicate great stress on a fact. In this verse, we find na le bire, na le bire, na le bire. Yet, Mother Yasoda is in the supermost exalted position, and thus Krishna has become completely subordinate to her. The word vimuktidat is also significant. There are different types of liberation, such as sayujya, salokya, sarupya, sarshti, and samipya. But vimukti means special mukti. When after liberation, one is situated on the platform of prema bhakti, one is said to achieve vimukti, special mukti. Therefore, the word na is mentioned. That exalted platform of prema is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as prema pum arto mahan, and Mother Yasoda naturally acts in such an exalted position in loving affairs. She is therefore a nitya siddha devotee, an expansion of Krishna's ladini potency. His potency to enjoy transcendental bliss through expansions who are special devotees, ananda chinmaya rasa pratiti bhaviti bhaihi. Such devotees are not sadhana siddha. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yasoda. Hare Krishna. Oma Ganata Marandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chaksula Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Svayavupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapatandikam Panchakalpa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So we continue here in Mother Yasoda binding Lord Krishna, and we see the qualifications for Mother Yasoda. As we've been hearing day after day here, talking of Damodar pastimes, his binding, roping, 2 inches too short. No one can assume this position of Mother Yasoda, so special. I was here, I guess it was a week or so ago, Brahmananda's disappearance day anniversary we had. So I was trying to relate these things, of course, to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, I was thinking, again, we know, of course, here Vrindavan, Prabhupada, everything he did was perfect. Everything he was doing, how he dealt with everyone, because everyone was part of his family. All we're talking about here is family. Krishna's family. Krishna's brother, Krishna's sister, his mother, his father. And later on, uncles, aunts. Everything is about family. I was thinking when I came to Krishna consciousness, it was never about philosophy. I understood from my upbringing Christianity, Catholicism. We heard about God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit within the heart. All these things we heard. So eventually when the time came, I wanted to experience God. I didn't look for it in a philosophical way. I just wanted family. I wanted to feel God's presence. You know, we heard God's all loving. I wanted to feel it, and I wasn't. And I was thinking all of my time with Srila Prabhupada. The things he talked about most to me was family. He didn't talk philosophy. Sometimes he would say things. He could surprise you in a moment. Once I walked into the room, he's looking out the window in New Dwarka. As soon as I walked in the room, offered obeisances, he rang his bell. So he called me. I don't know what he was thinking. I walked in the room, he looked at me and he said, "Ultimately, you have to fly your own airplane." He said that to me. I know I can't fly my own airplane. I always think we talk about the co-pilot, the Lord. We let Prabhupada be the co-pilot. But ultimately, we have to fly our own airplane. But what is it we have to do along the way? What are we constantly being shown over and over again? We have to become part of Krishna's family. This is what we want. Where are we going to learn this? We're going to learn it here. How to become family with each other. What better place than here in Vrindavan? What did Prabhupada say? I say it every time. It seems like every time I'm here, I say the same thing. Prabhupada said Vrindavan is his home. So where should it be easier to become part of his family than right here in Vrindavan? And as I said, Prabhupada, when he would speak to me, and many times, of course, I spent most of my time with Prabhupada massaging him. When I was in his presence, most of the time I was massaging him before lunch, 1.5 hours, 2 hours. And then in the evening, almost an hour as Prabhupada would lie there. They were very special times. And these were the times Prabhupada talked to me about his family, his loving family. I never heard a negative word as he described his childhood. He had a happy childhood, and he talked about that. I was telling some of those stories last week, and it was all touched just by Prabhupada having puffed rice. Because from that he remembered his childhood. Very early childhood. Puffed rice. Prabhupada had favorites. We're all people. We're all persons. Krishna has his favorites. We hear Krishna, favorite food, favorite this. Also Prabhupada had favorites. Puffed rice was a favorite. Nimbu Pani was a favorite. Prabhupada said he loved Nimbu Pani. Just paying a paisa, less than a paisa, get a glass of Nimbu Pani when he was a child. So he would talk about these things in a very affectionate language, very happy language. When I look back, I realize he was dealing with me just how I need to be dealt with. He knew just what he had to do to attract me more and more to this process, more and more to becoming his devotee. That's all I could aspire for, someday to become his devotee. I told you it was evening time, most wonderful time. Evening time was the most special time to be with Prabhupada. He might any time through the day, during lunch, massage before lunch, often the secretary would come in and read him his mail. So there was a lot of business activity going on. I would sit there sometimes, these letters would come in. Much was about management, but sometimes devotees, they would write their father, their spiritual father. Because we gave up our families. We were fanatic. Many of us, most of us. I have My mother had saved letters that I wrote to her when I was new in the temple. And I look at them and I think, oh, she must have thought I was just totally crazy, you know. Didn't say anything telling her about being a devotee and how nice it was, and nothing dealing with her in any affectionate way, you know. Anyway, Prabhupada would have letters at that time, so it was businesslike and just massaging him. But sometimes there were personal questions, difficulties. Sometimes man, grihastha man, or his wife would write. They would have their problems or different personal problems in the temple. Prabhupada always gave the same answers. He didn't go down. Prabhupada would never go down to the level that we sometimes approached him on to solve our difficulties. Because he never saw any difficulties. He would say, your only difficulty is you're not Krishna conscious. That's the difficulty. So how would he respond to these inquiries, Addies? What should I do? How do I deal? Chant your rounds, 16 rounds. Follow the regulative principles. Read my books. Are you reading my books? Sometimes he would say to others, you're distributing them, but are you reading them? So this is how he would respond to these questions. He would always know the only way to solve anything is through this process of Krishna consciousness. If you were Mangalartik this morning, Dharmatma read the quote for the day. I don't remember word for word, but I remember Prabhupada said, always think of Krishna, always remember Krishna. And he said, work very sincerely. Sincerely. That means no material gain, not looking for anything. We're talking about here. Servants. Prabhupada mentions that three times. Nah. I say that he used that to me many times. Sometimes as a disciple, you would refuse things from your spiritual master. I quickly found out that's offensive. Whatever your spiritual master offers you, whether it's service, a gift, whatever it might be, you accept it. So I went through those three times. By the third time I understood that that's it. You do whatever Prabhupada wants. So those evenings were so nice because there were no letters being read. There was no secretary around, no Sanskrit editor, just you with your hands massaging Prabhupada's body. Sometimes he'd be sitting there chanting japa. One of the most asked questions I get, how many rounds did Srila Prabhupada chant? And it always bewildered me because I never thought about it. I just saw Prabhupada was chanting. He was always chanting 24 hours a day. Prabhupada was chanting. Who could think of such a question? How many rounds did he chant? But then I would see him pull counter beads down. So he was counting them. How many he counted was not my business. My business was to do what he said, not to try to manage his affairs. How much did you eat today? Did you fast today? Crazy. Prabhupada made everything so very simple for us. Just become like a family. Appreciate one another. Serve each other. I've told that story about Jamuna so many times, I won't tell it today. But Prabhupada said, today she's cooked for you. Tomorrow you cook for her. That's the family Prabhupada created. No other family. He created a very close, loving family. And we served happily in this way, helping one another. Anyway, giving him massage in the evening, as I say, he would talk to me about his family. I, like some of us, different devotees, my father died, I was three. I never had a father figure in my life. How fortunate was I? Prabhupada, literally, he was my father. Not just spiritual father, he was my father in every way. And he knew that. So that's how he dealt with me. Maybe that's not how he dealt with everyone. Certainly wasn't how he dealt with others. He gave everyone what they needed. So as I'm sitting there massaging his legs, and Prabhupada's just laughing and smiling in bed, thinking of his childhood, remembering his happy childhood. Told you about the guns. Then he mentioned he had a little cow. And then, because he went back there, started to see. And then he said, when I was a child, when I was young, I was in school. He said, my father would take me to school. Prabhupada said somebody had to take him to school because he liked to cut school. Prabhupada, in English we say, played hooky. He didn't like going to school. Prabhupada didn't care for school. So even they would hire someone to see that he got to school each day. Prabhupada was very mischievous, like we see Krishna. These are the things you learn to love. The more mischievous he is, the more you love this person. Always remember, Prabhupada said, the intelligent child, he breaks the mridanga to see what's inside making the noise. See, intelligence can be troublesome. That's why in the USA now, practically, 40% of the population are on drugs. You know, they like to keep you very, very calm, peaceful. Don't ask questions. Just drug everyone. Because a person that thinks, he asks questions. So Prabhupada said his father would take him to work. I guess they went past there in Calcutta, the shops. There was one shop, he said, shoes. They were selling shoes. A cobbler, he was selling shoes. He said, and there was a window. So it must have been a very Calcutta in 1900s. That was the British crown jewel city. Prabhupada describes it. It was very beautiful. So many ponds all around the city. So many parks. He said, so they're passing every day and he's seeing in the window the shoes. He wanted the pair of shoes. I'm massaging. Prabhupada just talking, telling me these. He said they were leather shoes. How many rounds did he chant? And Prabhupada wore leather shoes. How is that? Krishna's pure devotee. Prabhupada, he saw those shoes. He wanted those shoes. So he told his father. His father bought him the shoes. He said they were from England. He was very happy. I'm massaging and I'm trying to think, trying to imagine Prabhupada as a little boy. It wasn't easy for me, but he helped. He helped make it easy. Huh? Just like we're trying to imagine God as a little boy. I didn't grow up with that idea. We grew up with God was the creator, the destroyer, put you in heaven, put you in hell. Fear, that's all we had. God, fear, afraid. But here we're hearing these pastimes. Who's afraid? Krishna's afraid. So his father bought those shoes. I told you, if you want anything, you want any ecstasy, you want any bliss, you got to stay connected through your service. That's what we're learning here. Everything comes through our service. What did Prabhupada say? He said, serve sincerely, everything will come. How? What word did he use this morning? He said everything will come automatically. We also hear that that's not automatically. Prabhupada says automatically many, many times. Everything will come. You just do your service. All your realizations will come. No, but I have to do this. Prabhupada says do this. That's all I know. I don't know anything else. I don't know what anyone else has to say. I'm trying to absorb what Prabhupada said. So he said, I was wearing those shoes to school every day. He liked these shoes so much, these nice British leather shoes. And I'm thinking, maybe he's 9 years old or something. And I'm trying to think of Prabhupada walking. And of course, you relate it to yourself. Huh? So then I finally, and I didn't talk. I listened. I didn't talk much, but I couldn't resist. And I was having this image of Prabhupada walking to school in his leather shoes. And I just see him. And I said, Prabhupada, I said, when you were walking to school, were you watching your shoes as you were walking? He started laughing and laughing and laughing. He's lying in bed and his body's shaking. Yes, he said, yes, I was looking at my shoes. We're all persons. Every one of us. We all have likes. We have dislikes. We have people we like a little bit. Some we may like a lot. Some we don't like at all. Of course, we know Prabhupada said there'll be ISKCON in the spiritual world. Everyone will be there. So you have to learn to like each other here. You have to learn to deal with one another. Our issues, they have to be solved. More chanting, more hearing. Prabhupada said, management. He said, if you preach very nicely, management will follow. Panchagoda, we know it. He reads Bhagavatam every day. We're all listening to Bhagavatam every day. Kirtan, so much kirtan. This is our process. And then you can become peaceful inside. So Prabhupada was very happy as a child. His childhood was very nice. Devotee child. Should be very happy childhood. Serving the Lord, seeing his father. He said everything he learned from his father, doing his deity worship. When I first became his servant, it was August 1972. I had just turned 21. I was living in a temple for 16 months. Not very long. So now I'm his servant. One of the first things I saw Prabhupada do, I was with him for 2 days and we arrived in Dallas temple. Radha Kalak Chanji, very beautiful deities Prabhupada installed. And of course Dallas was the very first school, ashram, Gurukula. So there were many children there. Dozen boys from 5 up to 10 or so. And they brought the boys into the room. So there were about 6-8 boys in Prabhupada's sitting room. So what did Prabhupada do? Did he preach to them? What's he going to say to them? How are you going to preach to a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, huh? You want to tell them to chant rounds? No, Prabhupada said no chanting rounds that young. He said that was no making them go to Mangal Arati. Never ever hit them. Just like Krishna. He said you can show them the stick. That was Prabhupada's, everything's here. Everything here. This is how we deal with one another. He said you can show the stick, but never use it. Huh? But what did he do? He had spent some time with them. So Prabhupada got up from behind his desk and he had the boys get down like they're offering obeisances. You have one of the boys offer obeisances. And Prabhupada jumped over him. And then Prabhupada looked behind him and told the boy to jump over him. He played leapfrog. Called leapfrog. This is how Prabhupada dealt with them. You have to know who you're dealing with if you want to help someone become Krishna conscious. He played leapfrog. I told you when he seen Saraswati. Saraswati, we heard yesterday at class how she preached Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, that's all you need to know to preach. That and enthusiasm. That's all you need. But what did he do when he was with her? He joked with her. She was 3 years old, 4 years old. How are you going to deal with that person? You have to become expert as a devotee. Know how to deal with everyone, each individual person, boy, girl, man, woman, married, unmarried, whatever it may be. You have to know how to be a devotee with that person. So that's what Prabhupada did. And then we see the one picture with, we called him DDD, Dwarkadish. Prabhupada showing him the Sanskrit, writing Sanskrit letters. I told you, Saraswati, she came in the room just eating, always eating, eating, filling her mouth with animal crackers. You know, they were little sweet cookies. And Prabhupada saw her, just started making fun of her. He said, you remind me of the garbage trucks in New York City. Prabhupada knew. You have to be in America to understand trash trucks, garbage trucks. Big, big things. Two guys standing on the back, big, bulky guys. Guy driver, levers, dirty, dark. And they come around very early in the morning. So, of course, for Prabhupada, that was prime time. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, you can hear these nasty machines. As they're throwing in everybody's trash. Everybody's. So when Prabhupada saw her putting the food, he said, you remind me of those garbage trucks in New York City. He said, do you know them? She just shook her head. She'd never been out of India yet. She didn't see any garbage trucks. So he described them. He said, big, they go down the street early in the morning. And the guys from the curb, they get the big cans and they throw it in. And Prabhupada's, I'm massaging him and Prabhupada's all over the place. He's moving his hands here, moving here. And she's just looking at this person. And he said, then they throw in the trash and they go, the mouth opens, they're electric, you know, it has a big mouth. So Prabhupada did it. He went, and they throw in the, he said, and I'm rubbing his back during this. I'm always doing my service. Otherwise, I get nothing, right? You get nothing. But I'm in ecstasy, just looking, thinking, who is this person? Who is he? He's going around the world 14 times, transforming the entire planet. And here he's acting like he's 5 years old. That's a devotee. And Saraswati just watching the whole time. Then he says, you remind me of that. Because her mouth was all opening, closing, putting all this nonsense in her mouth. So then when March, April came along, I got to see another side of Prabhupada's family. His sister in Calcutta. Prabhupada's younger sister, devotee of the Lord, initiated, and such a devotee of her big brother. There is no one more proud of Srila Prabhupada than Pishima. We called her Pishima Auntie. Baba Tarini was her name. We called her Pishima. She was most proud of Prabhupada, and you couldn't stop her from going in Prabhupada's room. I did stop her. I always say, in all of ISKCON, one person she didn't like, it was me. Because Prabhupada would say, she always just wanted to be with him. Imagine such an exalted position, huh? This is what we always want to be here with Krishna Balaram, Gorni Tai, Radha Shyama Sundar. This is devotee. Want to serve. And want to see others serving. Happy to see others serving. So we say even doing more service. All these things are there. These are way we can see. What is my position in Krishna consciousness? Huh? By how we're dealing with others. Are we helping them? Are we encouraging them? Are we inspiring them in their Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada inspired us. If you were in his presence, you left fully inspired, happy, blissful. So his sister, I say she was so wonderful. And she looked like Prabhupada, it was scary. It was Prabhupada in a female form. It was a little scary to get used to. But that face she had, you've seen the pictures, the glasses, she had her black horn-rimmed glasses. Always had prasadam. I don't even know, she probably had a few rupees here and there, but she was always bringing prasadam for Prabhupada's disciples in Calcutta. That was very nice sweets. Prabhupada said, they're the best. Bengali sweets, Prabhupada said, are the best. And she would bring the rasgulla, rasmalai, sandesh, gulab jamun, misti dahi. Nothing like misti dahi in the pot. You'd have a whole pot of misti dahi. It's wonderful. And she would come to see Prabhupada talk, and Prabhupada would always call me into the room because a woman was in his room. He was a sannyasi after all, he said. I'm a sannyasi, I can't be alone with a woman, even my sister. Prabhupada always set the example. But not just in the rules and regulations. He set an example in how to be with one another. How to express affection for one another. Even he was a sannyasi, his family gone. Still, his sister could be there. She would come into the room. And after she was there for some days, and like a sister, I guess she also complained to Prabhupada, her big brother, telling Prabhupada that she's not healthy, struggling, and yeah. So Prabhupada was getting it from everyone. His family, this family, his family. He was hearing from everyone. So that one morning she was there, spent time with Prabhupada. Now it's noontime, I begin massaging Prabhupada. So it's just Prabhupada and myself on the veranda, Albert Road Temple. And I'm behind him. And again, Prabhupada hit me right where I needed to be hit. He said, do you know anyone gets fat without eating? I said, no, Prabhupada. I knew where this was going. I already knew where this was. There's only one fat person in the whole place. His sister. I said, no, Prabhupada. He said, is it possible to get fat without eating? I said, I don't think so. He said, neither do I. He said, but my sister, she's so fat. And she says she doesn't hardly eat. That she hardly eats. Because she's sick. She says because she's sick, she hardly eats, and still she's so fat. He said, how is it possible? And I said, I don't know, Prabhupada. He said, no. He said, it's not possible. Then the massage went on. That was just a little. So then that was noontime. So now 6 o'clock in the evening, we're all in Prabhupada's room, Gargamuni, Ekanath, different devotees, I'm sitting there. And Prabhupada, he didn't preach to us. He would just tell stories. He would, whatever came to mind, he would start talking about this and that, whatever was presented. But it wasn't always just hammering over the head. We're supposed to do this, we're supposed to do this. No, he would give us so much nectar that you become more attached. And this is what's going on here. How to become attached to Krishna. Yeah. Whatever it takes. If it takes philosophy, Prabhupada said, we have so many books. Yeah. If you need philosophy. But if you just need these pastimes, this also. So he's just talking with the devotees and Pishima comes into the room. And she's, you know, she was this big and 10 meters of white sari wrapped around her body. That's all, just the sari. Wrap, you know. And she comes into the room and she offers her obeisances to her big brother, Prabhupada. And then she goes in the far corner and sits down. She doesn't understand a word of English. Prabhupada's speaking in English. Everyone in there speaks English. What did Prabhupada say in the lecture yesterday? Only one Indian here. He meant him. He said, I'm the only Indian in ISKCON, Prabhupada said, back in those days. Prabhupada was the only Indian. Because sometimes the devotees would say, Prabhupada, it's so difficult dealing with these Indians. He'd say, I'm an Indian. He was the only Indian. I don't think anyone ever saw Prabhupada as an Indian. He was Prabhupada. From the moment you saw him, he was Prabhupada. That was it. There was no question of Indian. So she sits down in the corner and Prabhupada's talking. And he looks at his sister, his little sister. He said, just see my sister. Just see how fat she is. Devotees had never heard anything like this before from Prabhupada. I had such experiences. I knew Prabhupada had, we always say, other side. We all have another side. Everybody has another side. This was Prabhupada's other side, this childlike behavior, this sweetness, like a gulab jamun, just total sweet, every spot, sweet, 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 sweet. So then he just starts offending, criticize. Look at her. She's so fat and she says she doesn't eat. The devotees are crying, they're laughing so much to hear this coming from their spiritual master. Yeah. Their savior, their eternal savior. He's talking about his sister in such funny way. He said the whole thing all over again. She says she's sick. She hardly eats. He said, but look at her. And she's laughing because we're laughing, because that's what laughing does. It becomes infectious. So Prabhupada was just giving these devotees who are serving so much under such extreme conditions, such difficult conditions. The only thing he could give them was his own pleasure. He could give them pleasure somehow or other. Show them how much he cared. Make them part of his family. It's up to us. We can be part of Prabhupada's family. But you got to know how to be a family member. I never saw Prabhupada treat anyone ill, even in chastisement. And even if he chastised you, especially with his entourage, I say his servant, his secretary, Paramahamsa said, he chastises us. But then after a few minutes, he calls you back in the room and he starts telling stories. He never said, I chastise you, because he could. He didn't have to apologize for everything. But he would show you that he loved you. And that's how he showed you how he loved you. He would bring you in and start telling you stories. Or he would say, get a book. Get a book means there was always a bookshelf right in his room, and his books were always his books. So we would just say, get a book. then he was going to have you read. But somehow or other, he engaged us. But he engaged us with love, with a loving attitude. And we knew that. Again, I say it all started, you know, we had so many mantras when I first came to the temple. Time, place, circumstance, love and trust. Go to Mangalarti. All these things were there, but love and trust. From the beginning, Prabhupada established this society on those two principles. Feeding everyone as much prasadam as he could give them. Prasadam, the mercy. He gave us mercy in every form. But for those that had that opportunity to have his personal association, his presence, he showed them what it was to be a devotee. How devotee cared, how devotee loved, how devotee loved Krishna, Mother Yasoda, and how he cared for everyone in the society. Never wanted to see anyone go away. So many of those stories I've seen, I've told, huh? Could tell. One of my favorite stories came from someone else, from a Mekala, when she was in New York, skyscraper, 14-story skyscraper, huh? The Govindas on the bottom floor. And there was one, we actually heard his name in the class yesterday, a sannyasi. If you were paying attention in class, maybe you'll put it together. So he was a sannyasi. Prabhupada was saying, I was preaching. He was in the news there in South Africa. So many things. Now this sannyasi, this was 1976. He had fallen down. He fell down hard. Didn't follow any regulative principles. Not chanting any round. Naturally, he's not chanting. Grew his hair out, had his beard, the whole package back to whence he had come. Taking intoxication and offending Prabhupada on top of everything else. He blamed Prabhupada for spoiling his chance to become a rock star. Because he was a good musician and singer before he came to ISKCON. And of course, there's no question of picking up a guitar in 1972 or any other instrument other than kartals and mridanga and harmonium for bhajans only. So he actually said, I could have been a big musician. So many rock stars were there in the 70s. So devotees wouldn't even talk to him. 100 devotees in the temple, no one would talk to him. He still came for prasadam at Govinda's because it was a good deal and he had a taste for prasadam. But only that one person talked to him. It was a woman, I was going to say naturally, it was a young lady, a Mekala. She felt, she knew him. She knew him from when he was big sannyasi, preacher. So when he would come, she would say a few words to him. He's sitting down, eating. No one else, because he was an offender. Better you cut your throat than speak to such an offender. Leave the room. So then one day, everyone's out in front of the temple, 55th Street was. A big side, wide sidewalk. There's like 50 devotees of the Hari Nam right in front of the temple. And she's there at the curb. And here he comes, walking up, his long hair, his beard. And he looks at, goes right up to her, says, what's going on? She said, oh, Prabhupada's coming. He said, oh. He said, well, I came for lunch. Imagine how fallen he was. Not, oh, that's wonderful. No, he said, I just came to eat lunch. And as fate had it, Prabhupada, the car pulls up with Prabhupada in it, just as the two of them are right there at the sidewalk. So now she's in anxiety, knowing this person's not in very good consciousness. You know, what could happen? So then Prabhupada gets out of the car. and there's Danny and Kirtan, everybody jumping up and down, the kirtan's going on, and of course Prabhupada sees him, recognizes him. He was Prabhupada's servant for some time. He was an expert cook. So Prabhupada walks right up to him. He said, you'll cook for me while I'm here? He was eating meat. And the devotees let Prabhupada know, one of the sannyasis, Prabhupada, he eats meat. And he's offensive. He's offending you. Prabhupada, like I did that once with Prabhupada. Prabhupada, the police are saying you have to sit in your vyasasan. Prabhupada didn't hear a word I said to him. He heard, but he didn't hear. He couldn't care less. So the same thing, this devotee, Prabhupada, he's eating meat. Prabhupada just asked him to cook for him. Horrible. Not Hari Bowl, horrible. And Prabhupada looked at him again. He said, so? He said, you'll cook for me while I'm here? Yes, Prabhupada, I'll cook for you. Very good. And Prabhupada went into the temple room. So this total nonsense, rascal, offensive, meat-eating, pot-smoking person, Prabhupada said, cook for me. Because he was Prabhupada's son. Do you understand? Do you know what you're dealing with in this society? How to treat one another? And who got to help him? The only person that ever talked to him. So now she's helping him. God forbid, a man and a woman cooking together in the kitchen. We know that's not proper. But this is what happened. So however long Prabhupada stayed there, he cooked for Prabhupada every day. She got to cook for Prabhupada every day. This is what we're talking about here in Krishna consciousness. Not what we can't do. Prabhupada said, our movement isn't a set of rules of what you can't do. It's about what you can do. What you should do. What you can't do, that disappears by doing what you're supposed to do. By doing what's good for you. That's the movement Srila Prabhupada set up. And we're here in Prabhupada's home. So it's our business. This is Prabhupada's international home all around the world. To set a nice example. When people come here, they should understand, what does it mean to be a devotee? More than just sitting in the corner, you know? No, it's dealings with one another. This is our training ground. So, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Are there any questions? Go to the second half of the question. The Ajata Sukriti, we know that Prabhupada said, I made your Ajata Sukriti. He also said other things. He also said in general, you're all associates of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya has sent you here. So that's the devotee. He sees things, different moods are always there. So Prabhupada could say one thing at one time in his humility, say another thing at another time. What? There's no activity. Just like us. What activity could we perform to be so fortunate to come under Prabhupada's care? He literally just was the most compassionate, most merciful. And to this day, he's giving Krishna consciousness, is there for everyone, for anyone that comes in contact with his followers, his books. We know Prabhupada stressed these books. I was there in London, in Bhaktivedanta Manor, when Prabhupada said, he kept saying, these are the law books. These are our law books. Everything you do, you have to check with the law books, just like any lawyer, he said, in court. You know, there's precedent is there. And then he said, for 10,000 years, these books will be there. So it wasn't that he gave these books some preliminary course for us to study for a few years and then just let them gather dust on the shelf. No, he said everything. Again, with me, he told me multiple times, everything is in my books. Even one book, he said, if you become, just read one book over and over, any one of his books, he said, you can achieve perfection. Just one book, any book, he said. So Prabhupada opened, Lord Chaitanya, we say, open this storehouse of love of God. Yes, Maharaj.
There is this story of when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates, performing kirtan at Shiva's Angan. And there is this one brahmana whose only food is milk. So he wanted to see darshan of the Lord while he's performing his kirtan. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is feeling the same ecstasy today. Something is wrong. And Shivas let this brahmana wanted to see. He's so eager to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. And because of his austerity, so he thought that he is qualified to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. The lesson here is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, it is not because you're austere you can enter into that kirtan. It is very confidential. Our greatest austerity is chanting of the holy name. This is the only way how we can go back home back to Godhead. And the austerity of Mother Yasoda and Mars is for us actually. Then we have to perform this greatest yajna to reestablish our original relationship with the Supreme Lord.
All right. Thank you. I had one, I hardly ever saw Jayananda, but when I became Prabhupada's servant, he was in San Francisco for 2 days. And Prabhupada did evening programs. And each day, Jayananda was in the kitchen where the program was going on, preparing prasadam to distribute. And after Prabhupada spoke, just like there is on Vyasa San, all the devotees came up. And Prabhupada, you know, to see Prabhupada, to get some association. And Prabhupada just got up off the Vyasa San and he went right to the kitchen where Jayananda was, because he was doing service. He went to the kitchen and he asked Jayananda, how are you? How is everything? And Jayananda was just doing his service. Again, that's why I stress that. Whenever Prabhupada said anything, I was doing my service. And I always felt that that service was how we connect, yeah, by the chanting, by our service. Everything comes from that. All right, Shu.
One comment in regard to Maharaj's story. I had a similar experience in the very beginning of my book project. I mean, there was nothing, even though I thought about it. The only place to go was to the Yajurvedi or to Srivas Kamala. So in the mornings I would go down to Srivas Kamala and I knew from Prabhupada's stories that Lord Chaitanya, along with
giants. Okay. Very quick question? Okay, quick question you can ask. That's a very quick question, yes. I did mean to say I have no idea. So quick answer, I'm sorry, I don't know his whereabouts. From even recently after that or ever since then. But yes, he was part of Prabhupada's class yesterday. So again, all these people, Prabhupada saw what they did to help him. He didn't see what they did wrongly. He only saw their service, and therefore he knew, just give him service. This is what we do, not the opposite. You don't take service away from people. Someone's struggling, you give them more service. If they can't do anything else, just give them a little service. This was Prabhupada's method. All right, we have to stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.